I want to have an additional little teaching on this disc about the subject of salvation. Many people think that being born again is all there is to the subject of salvation, but the Bible teaches much more than that. Being born again is simply the first step of salvation. When Jesus talked to Nicodemus in the third chapter of John, he said, "You must be born again." And the Bible teaches that when we accept Christ, in Romans chapter 10, that when we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, then we've become born again. We become new creatures, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5, 17. But the Bible also teaches that salvation is not just one step. Many people think that salvation is just when you've been born again. But the Bible teaches that salvation is past, present, and future. 1 Corinthians 6:17 indicates that when we're born again, we become one spirit with God. And so our spirits are saved when we become born again. That's the first step in salvation. When we are forgiven by God, when we repent of our sins and accept Christ by faith, we're born again and our spirits are saved. And that's past tense. It's something that happened in the past. Ephesians 2:8 says, "By grace you have been saved." That's past tense. So whenever you accepted Christ in the past, you were saved at that time. Your spirit was saved. But also the Bible teaches that salvation is a present, ongoing experience. 1 Corinthians 1:18 talks about we who are being saved. So it's an ongoing experience. That's 1 Corinthians 1:18. 1 Peter 1:9 says that we will receive the end. You will receive the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So it refers to salvation as something that's ongoing and that we receive not at the beginning of our faith, but at the end of it. So it's a present experience. Our souls are being saved. And Romans 2:7 says that we receive eternal life by patiently continuing to do the things of God. So it's an ongoing thing. And Philippians 2:11 says, "Work out your," or 2:12 says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." So it's an ongoing process. You were saved in the past. By grace, you were saved and became one spirit. Your spirit was saved. Your soul is now being saved, and you will receive the salvation of your souls as the end of your faith. The process of sanctification is an ongoing process. We're set apart for God. We become holy. We become Christ-like. We live a life of love as we follow Christ in obedience. That's sanctification, and it's an ongoing thing as our souls are being saved. Then in the future, our bodies will be saved. Romans 13:11 says salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. So it's a future experience he's talking about. And 1 Peter 1:5 talks about the salvation that's ready to be revealed in the last time. Our bodies, we're going to get new bodies in the future. Since I'm nearly 80 years old, I'm looking forward to that. This body is getting a lot of problems. Thank God for the health I have. But I'm going to get a brand new body. My body will be renewed, and I'll see Christ, and I'll see Him as He is when I stand in my new body before Him. So salvation is past. The Spirit has been saved. It's present. The soul is being saved as we follow through in the process of sanctification. And it's future. Our bodies will be saved. Are we forever, once and for all, sealed with the Holy Spirit when we're saved? Are we once saved, always saved? Of course, that's a subject on which that's controversial. Certainly, the Bible says that we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit. In John 10:27 and 30, it says that God knows. You know, God is the good shepherd. He knows his sheep know his voice. And they belong to Him, and no one will be able to take them out of His hands. But in verse 27, it says that my sheep know my voice, and they follow me. If you're one of God's sheep, you're following Him. If you're not following Him, I don't believe you're one of God's sheep. And then James warns us that we should be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. And in Matthew 7, starting at verse 24, at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus warns us that there are many people who have had a false conversion. They're not really saved. That in the final judgment, they'll say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and didn't we do that to serve you?" And He'll say, "Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness or iniquity, I never knew you." So, again, Philippians 2:12 says, "Work out your salvation with fear and trembling." I have a confidence that I have been saved and I'm being saved, but I'm also following Christ. I'm seeking to obey Him in my daily life, and I have a trust that He saves me. It's not my good works that save me. It's the gift of God. It's what Christ did on the cross that gives me salvation. But I don't want to be deceived, as the word warns me in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Don't be deceived. You know, there are many people that are deceived. They are not really following Christ. And Jesus gave the teaching in Matthew 13:24 about the tares and the wheat, that there are many people in the midst of the world, in the midst of the church, who look like Christians. But in the final judgment, the weeds, the tares, will be separated from the wheat. The wheat will be taken into the barn, and the tares will be gathered in bundles and thrown into the fire and burned. And then in 2 Peter chapter 1 and chapter 2, Peter warns us not to be casual or blasé about our salvation, that we need to make sure that we have been called and that we've been among the elect by continuing to do those things through faith and obedience to God that will demonstrate to God that we've been saved. So this is just a little teaching to encourage us that salvation is very precious. It's the most precious thing that we can ever have in life or in eternity, and that we should not be casual about it. We should make sure that we're followers of the Good Shepherd. Amen.